Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And photographs now are being published on websites and news channels around the world of President Joe Biden shaking the hand of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. And any more news from that surprise and unannounced visit, we'll bring it to you over the course of the programme. But in Britain, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is expected to brief his cabinet early this week on the progress of negotiations between the UK and the EU on the Northern Ireland Protocol. A speculation that a deal could be imminent continues. The former Prime Minister Boris Johnson intervened over the weekend, warning his successor not to drop legislation that would allow the UK to override the protocol. To talk more about this, I'm joined on the line by John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, and also Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror. And you're both welcome this morning. Kevin, first to you, probably the last person that Rishi Sunak wanted to get involved in all of this was Boris Johnson. And then his intervention was described by Penny Mordaunt as not entirely unhelpful. So what is he up to?
Yeah, Boris has been Boris, said Penny Mordaunt. I think George Osborne, the former Conservative Chancellor, a one-time friend of Boris Johnson, got it right when he says he wants to come back as Prime Minister and replace Rishi Sunak, which would mean toppling him, because it was an incredibly unhelpful briefing by friends of Johnson that way. Because he, of course, he agreed to put the border down the Irish Sea to get his quote, excellent, unquote, Brexit deal through. And now he's getting in the way again. No, Sunak, who never paid much, had much involvement with Northern Ireland, it's got to be said, until he became Prime Minister, he'll have his head in his hands, because he knows what's happening. It's Tory politics here.
And I saw a commentator over the weekend saying that this is a big test for Boris Johnson, if his ambition is, and most people would agree with you, I think, Kevin, to come back, that this is the test for him.
Yeah, no, it is, because he's fighting on several fronts still, Boris Johnson, because there is an inquiry into whether he knowingly lied to MPs about parties in Downing Street during COVID. But this is his big issue, Brexit. It's what got him the Conservative leadership. It's what won him the Conservatives an AEC majority back in 2019. But it's also an issue that will absolutely split the party again, no matter what happens on this. And Downing Street, on our briefing, there's going to be no deal today. Tomorrow is unlikely, and the DUP, I say, was probably not going to be this week. So is it final hours? It's often, as with Northern Ireland, it's probably the final weeks and months, but hopefully not years.
And John, how do you rate the extent of the challenge facing Rishi Sunak now? Because he has the Boris Johnson hurdle, but he also has the hurdle of those hardline Brexiteers in his party who certainly haven't gone away.
Down the hardline Brexiteers in his own party, the European Research Group, because Keir Starmer has made clear as leader of the opposition that he will give Rishi Sunak space to get anything through Parliament that needs getting through in terms of a revised deal. So, yes, Boris Johnson's malevolent intervention here is a problem. I mean, you literally couldn't make it up with Boris Johnson. This is the man who went to the DUP conference in 2018, said no Conservative British Prime Minister could or should put a border down the Irish Sea. He then agreed to exactly that in 2019, and now he's supporting the protocol bill, the domestic protocol bill, and doesn't want Rishi Sunak to remove that bill, even though that bill undoes Boris Johnson's own handiwork. I mean, it's just an incredulous piece of audacity, even by Boris Johnson standards. But I mean, Rishi Sunak can deal with that. Rishi Sunak's biggest problem here is the DUP, and at one level, it might look absurd that you've got a party with 184,000 votes in Northern Ireland holding up the conclusion of a trade deal between a bloc and a country which combined population is 450 million. But that's where we're at in the world of devolved power sharing with vetoes in Northern Ireland. Rishi Sunak's going to have to be the smoothest salesperson on this planet to get this one past the DUP. But he may be capable of that.
Yeah, you just wonder where things are at now, because on Friday, was a sense that something would be happening today. Then, as Kevin says, we're told it's tomorrow or the next day, and the DUP may not agree at all. What's your own take on what's been going on over the last few days, John?
I think there's divisions within the DUP, because already you've had people like Sammy Wilson and Nigel Dodds coming out and saying, look, the fact is the key issue has not been addressed here. It's not about removal of checks on goods going Great Britain to Northern Ireland, which for many people it was, because that undermined the integrity of the UK internal market. The argument from the Sammy Wilson wing, if you want to call it that, of the DUP would be, it's about the role of the European Court of Justice, Northern Ireland people having no say over the laws that govern them, and that the ECJ, the role of the European Court of Justice, will only be fudged in what is being proposed so far. Well, that's true to a point, but ultimately, in terms of the protection of the European Union's single market, it's inconceivable the EU is going to remove the role of the European Court of Justice. What can happen is that there's a fudge in which the only way that the European Court of Justice can get involved in this is by referral from either UK courts or by a joint EU-UK committee, and that may be the way forward. And if Geoffrey Donaldson wants to sell that to the DUP, I think it will take a lot of political will, but I think it's doable. But he would have to face down, I suspect, some elements within his own party.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, do you think Rishi Sunak is prepared to face down the DUP and go ahead and sign any deal, even if Geoffrey Donaldson is saying to him, this is not acceptable to us?
Yeah, and if he faces down the DUP, probably then has to face down 100 of his own MPs and is relying on Labour votes in Parliament to get it through. And he's in a pretty weak position as it is. It's going to be a real test of him. He clearly wants it sorted as a problem to reset relations between the UK and the European Union. It's just how far and how brave he will be prepared to go. Mm-hmm. And that is unknown at the moment. But I suppose he deserves some credit for attempting to do this. But he has this serious problem in his own party.
What do you say to that, John? Because, you know, it's a given that Rishi Sunak's motivation here is economic. He wants a trade deal with the EU. He wants a trade deal with the United States. This is the quickest route to it. And is the sacrifice the relationship with the DUP?
Well, Rishi Sunak's not reliant on the DUP at Westminster in the way, of course, that Theresa May was. So Rishi Sunak could try and cut the DUP adrift. But if the DUP is not playing ball here, then there is the big issue of what happens, what's the future of devolved power sharing in Northern Ireland? Because if the DUP can't be enticed back into the institutions, it's going to be a very hollow celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement in less than 2 months' time, as the world looks on and sees that actually the political institutions associated with that agreement are in abeyance. They've been away for 60% of the last 6 years. It's not just that the DUP walked out. Sinn Féin was out for a while as well. So there's a credit, you know, question mark over the future of the entire Good Friday Agreement. It might be self-defeating for the DUP to stay out, because devolved power sharing, albeit in reduced circumstances, is probably the least bad option for the DUP. And I think Rishi Sunak will say, you know, he will present perhaps, as you know, as well as offering some carrots to the DUP, there'll also be the stick, which will be, well, the vista is, you know, the bleak vista for the DUP is if you stay out of the institutions, then there will be a direct rule with a greener tinge from Westminster at some point. But I think that's a way down the track yet. I think the British government is pretty desperate to get those devolved power-sharing institutions back in Northern Ireland. And whilst the DUP has a veto, the DUP can play that veto.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
It's a possibly ahead. You've got to wonder, does the DUP want power sharing to resume when Sinn Féin would have the First Minister? But in Sunak's favour, Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, and his deputy Steve Baker have both chaired the European Research Group, the hardline extremists, the most fanatical opponents of the European Court of Justice within the Conservative Party. They may be able to give him some sway to get this through, but there is going to be that problem with the DUP. Are the DUP prepared to play ball or not? And at the moment, it seems the faction that isn't around Sammy Wilson, Nigel Dodds, as we just heard, they seem to be calling the game.
Over the weekend, a clip resurfaced from 2018 online, and it has close to 7 million views now, but it was a famous interview that the former Tory Deputy British Prime Minister Michael Heseltine gave to Channel 4 back 5 years ago about Brexit. It's just worth taking a quick listen to it again.
It's appalling, appalling that 70% of our young people want to stay in Europe. And they're being ignored by the 70% of old people who want to leave. The self-interest of this country, self-evidently, depends our presence at the heart of Europe. And all this stuff about sharing power and gaining power and sovereignty, it's all slogans. It's got no relationship to the real world that we live in. And whilst there are some very brave conservatives holding the fort and standing by their own convictions as to what our national interest is, there are too many who are in one of two camps. Those who just said it's a quiet life, it's all we can do, the people have spoken and all that. And those who are the Brexiteers, who are driven by these obsessions of yesteryear, by the delusions of the role of a medium-sized economy and nation-state in tomorrow's world, ignorant of the wishes of the generations yet to come.
If this goes ahead, what will you feel?
Sad that my generation betrayed the young generation. Sad that we denied Britain's historic role at the centre of Europe. Sad that we stood down from our position as one of the leading countries of our sort in the world. We gave up power. I can't understand that.
That's Michael Heseltine in 2018 speaking to Channel 4's Krishnan Gurumurthy. You'd wonder, John, I'm just thinking again about Rishi Sunak and his economic brain and his focus on trade deals, whether he might listen to something like that and question his own Brexit stance.
He might, but firstly, I mean, Rishi Sunak was an unapologetic Brexiteer. That's the first thing to say. I think he's just desperate to wrap up the unfinished business of Brexit in terms of the protocol. It's true, Brexit divisions have not healed, and it's a question of whether you take a view on sovereignty or whether you take a view on economics. Very few people have ever said that Britain will be better off economically outside the European Union, so the arguments have come down to sovereignty. But remember, on the opposition side, Keir Starmer refuses to campaign for Labour to rejoin the EU, given the damage that Brexit did in the 2019 general election. So we are where we are. I mean, again, Michael Heseltine's right in pointing out the importance of age as a variable. Age is the biggest single voting variable on this side of the Irish Sea now. Even at the last election, won handsomely by the Conservatives, the Brexit election, if you're under 40, you're still more likely to vote Labour. So there's a huge generational divide, but no one wants to open the question of rejoin again. I think Rishi Sunak's just desperate to get this issue settled, and the protocol would bring closure this side of a rejoin campaign in terms of Brexit. That's really the current aim of the Prime Minister.
It's probably too soon to ask the question, Kevin, but you would wonder, wouldn't you, whether for voters sovereignty would still trump economic success?
Yeah, and I suspect it wouldn't. There are many regrets. You see, now a majority of people think it would have been better if Britain had stayed in the European Union, but there is no appetite in the major political parties to reverse that and fight that battle. And Rishi Sunak backed Brexit in 2016. I think when he's Prime Minister now in 2023, he sees the problems he's trying to overcome. Some of them, but equally Labour, Keir Starmer has made quite clear that there'll be no attempted re-entry into the single market of the customs union, restoration of free movement. He wants to be a general fighting old battles. He wants to be looking to new territory ahead. No, it's proved a disaster, Brexit. And Tony Blair, John Major, warned in 2016 about the problems for Northern Ireland. They were just ignored.
All right. Thank you both for joining us, John Tong and Kevin Maguire, on that Brexit deal, on the Northern Ireland Protocol deal. We had expected there to be some news on that today, but it seems as though today is not to be the day. Turning to our colleagues in the newsroom now, Laura Fletcher is reporting that the government department responsible for finding accommodation for Ukrainian refugees has acknowledged that it is required to pay interest to hotels, hostels and B&Bs who have experienced significant delays in receiving payments. Since the beginning of February, the department has said there's approximately 41 million outstanding in payments. The requirement to pay interest on outstanding payments stems from the European Community's Regulations 2012, and a spokesperson for the department confirmed, yes, prompt payment interest applies where significant delays occur on the department's side. And you'd wonder how they have allowed that to happen. And we know that there are some hotels and B&Bs, because there was a report on Morning Ireland last week about this. Some hotels and B&Bs have been left out of pocket and can't pay the bill for the oil and are struggling to pay their food suppliers after agreeing to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. Coming up next on the programme, the Banshees cleans up at the BAFTAs, and there are other winners too. Donald Clark will tell me all about it.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.